happy Mother's Day. I hope you have already have had a wonderful day, and I hope your day just gets better as it goes along. But right now, what we'd like to do is we would like to honor our mothers. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. All of you who are not moms, stand up. We'll let our moms stay seated. And we're going to honor our moms. Everybody who is not a mother, stand up. Anybody who's not a mom. So y'all stand up so that they know who to pass this out to. So Jenna and Kenny, if you want to come and help. Jenna's in the middle here. And so they're going to pass out a little Mother's Day treat for everyone. So we've got a cookie for everybody. And those will be going out. So take a minute. So when you get them, if you can eat it without getting any crumbs anywhere, you can eat it in here. Otherwise, you got to wait till you get home. Kitty? Yeah, right there. That's good. I would ask all the moms to share a story, but we don't have that much time. Every mom has a story. Some good, some bad, some in between, but we love to tell the funny stories. Those are the ones that we like to tell, the happy stories, and there are a lot of them. Did everybody get one? All right. A few in the back there, I think. And, yeah, can you get Miss Ann back there to back? Make sure she gets one. All right, y'all, now that they've got to pass out, y'all can sit down. That was just a good way. You know, the traditional thing was always this. All moms stand up. That's always been a traditional thing. But I'm like, it's Mother's Day. Moms shouldn't have to stand and do anything, right? That's what Lisa keeps trying to convince me of anyway over the years. Maybe one of these days I'll get it right. But anyway, we are very thankful for our moms. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Kenny, for passing those out. Really appreciate that. And so we want to pray for our moms and just thank God for our moms before we move on. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our mothers. And Lord, I am just praise you for mine. She was there and she did so much to make me who I am. She supported me, but most of all, she prayed for me. She prayed for me all the time. And Lord, it's only because of those prayers and your watch care over me and your answer to those prayers that I am here today. Because I know there are times when she was praying and things didn't happen. When she was praying and things did happen. There's times when something bad happened and I was protected anyway. And Lord, I know it was because of the prayers of my mom. And Lord, I thank you for each and every mom because I know that they are precious to you. And they're precious to their families. And so we thank you. We pray a blessing upon each mom this morning. But I also know that there are some whose moms were not there, that they were not the moms they wish they had been. And Lord, that hurts, and I know that hurts. But Lord, we thank you that they gave them life. We also pray for healing. And we also pray for those that are moms but have lost their dear ones who are with you. We pray that today would be a day of comfort, that they would find joy in it, even though that they're missing a loved one. And we also want to thank you for those people that may not be moms. They may not be our true mom, our biological mom, but they filled that role. They loved us. They encouraged us. Maybe they were our second mom, our third mom, or maybe they were just the one that stepped in that role because our moms weren't there. But Lord, for those women who have poured into us in so many ways, we thank you so much for them. And we give you praise and honor. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the world, if you haven't figured it out, constantly encouraging us to look at other people, to look at where they are and to look at where we are, to look at their success and compare it to our success, to look at what they're doing and what we're doing. And the reason that the world encourages us to do that is why? So we can see if we measure up. Or how are we doing in relation to other people? Looking at the standard. And when we compare ourselves to those around us, how often are we encouraged? Not very. I mean, yes, there are some people I look at and go, oh, I'm doing a lot better than them. But there are a lot more people I look at and I'm not doing that well. You know? We don't get encouraged very often because who do we look at? We look at those not who are struggling or those who are living in less than ideal circumstances. Who we look at are those that are living the dream or that we suppose are living the dream anyway. Those who are doing more, those who have more, those who are on top of things, those who appear to have it all together and they have it all. And we look at people like this and we take their life and then we take our life and we get them and put them side by side. And we compare the two, and what do we find? We don't measure up. And because we think we have to measure up, because we think we have to be like them, we get discouraged. I read an article this week, a lady was sharing, and she said, what I do is I look at everybody else and I pick out the best quality in them and think I have to be like that. So she picks out the best quality in everybody she knows and says, I need to be a little bit like everybody else. A little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And because she's not, she's very discouraged. Because she only picks out what is best in their life. Because that's what we see, right? We see the good things, the things when people are all together. Because what do? If we don't have it together? We keep it hidden, right? We hide it. So nobody else sees it. We only put out our best foot forward, as you say. And so she would just look at their best qualities. And so she would try to be like them. But when we do that, we realize we don't measure up and we become discouraged because we know we're not like them and we generally believe that we will never become like them. As a result, we feel like a failure. We're not who we should be. But did you know you don't have to be like anybody else? You don't have to be like anyone else. The world will tell you you have to look and sound like the beautiful, successful people. People like me. You knew that was coming. You just knew that was coming. And for those of you who don't, do you know what an influencer is? Yeah? Somebody's on the internet influencing people about different things. You know, I don't really know how you become an influencer except you post a lot of things on the internet. That's the only way I know you get there. But you got to be those things or your life doesn't really mean anything. It really doesn't measure up. It doesn't count. The world will say, this is the standard. This is who you've got to be. And this is who you should be. So we try to meet that standard. And problem is, the standard keeps changing. The finish line just keeps moving further and further out, and we never get there. You know what Paul said in Romans 12:2? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's Paul saying? You don't need to be like everybody else that you see in society. You don't have to be what the world tells you you should be. God doesn't want you to be like the world around you. He doesn't want you to be like anyone else or anybody else. You are to be you. I don't think there's a better time to hear that than on Mother's Day. But that truth, and the truth that we're going to look at this morning, is not just for moms. It's for all of us. We all need to hear that truth. So today, we're going to be talking about how to be you. And as we talk about the topic, hopefully, you'll be delivered from that pressure of having to be what everybody else says you should be, or what your family or your neighbors or your friends say you should be, and you can be simply free to be you, the you that God created to be. Now, if you notice on the screen, there's something missing. The scripture is missing. And the reason that it's missing is because I don't want you to tune me out before we get started. And here's why. You see, sometimes when the passage we're going to look at is taught, it has been taught in a way that it discourages people. And so when it's brought up, people tune it out. Years ago, before I preached my and I mean years ago, before I preached my first Mother's Day sermon, Alicia and I were visiting with some friends by the name of David and Marla. They are pastor in Arkansas. Well, he is. I mean, she's not a pastor, but he's the wife, so they're in it together. But we were visiting with them, and we were just talking about different sermons we'd heard over the years, and the passage we're going to look at here in a little bit came up. And Marla got this scowl on her face. She said, please, whatever you do, don't preach that passage. Do not preach that passage. She said, because all it does is discourage the ladies in the congregation. Makes them feel they don't measure up as a woman or as a mother. Mother's Day should be a day of encouragement, not discouragement, she said. No one wants to have an unattainable and unrealistic goal placed in front of them. And I took what she said to heart. And I've heard that sentiment echoed over the years by several, well, not just several, but many different ladies over the years. And so, that's the reason it's not up there yet. When referring to this passage, I don't want it to be a discouragement. I want it to be an encouragement. And that's what this passage is meant to do. That's what Scripture is meant to do. It's not meant to discourage us. It's meant to encourage us and to build us up. And hopefully today, as we look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, you'll be lifted up rather than pushed down. Hopefully when you're done, you won't say like Marla said. She goes, if I have to hear about the perfect Proverbs 31 woman one more time, I'm going to scream. That's what she said. And hopefully as we're done, I won't give you a reason to scream in frustration, but a reason to shout for joy and just relax as you understand how to be used. So let's look at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, so it supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you have surpassed them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her work bring her praise at the city gates. Now, so often this passage, when we read that, a lot of times people look at this as a job description. Now, if this is the fact that, you know, okay, here we are. If you're going to be a wife or a mother, a woman, these are the responsibilities you have to fulfill. Now, if this is a job description, this is a job I would not apply for. This is a job that I wouldn't take if they offered it. Because just reading it, how many of you, when we read that, you were going, whew, I'm tired just reading that. But if viewed in this way, as so many people do, if they read it as a job description and they see it in that way, they believe that what this is saying is that ladies and moms, this is what's expected of you. These are your duties. This is the standard to which we're going to hold you to. That's what a lot of people look at this as saying. And because they believe this is the standard, we have a lot of ladies that read these words and they get down on themselves. They compare this woman's life, and then they compare it to their life, and they don't match up. They see this woman as perfect, and they know that they're not, because none of us are. So this passage becomes a source of discouragement. And like Marla, people have come to resent the woman in this passage. And that's understandable. Who wants to hear you're not the woman or the person you should be? How many of you would sign up for that class? I would not. Nobody wants to hear that. But unfortunately, that's the way this passage has been presented over the years a lot of times. They point out shortcomings as opposed to building people up. And it's any wonder that people have grown to resent this. But like I said, this is not a job description. People see it that way, but it is not a job description. It's not to be used to show how we're failing to be who should be. As I said, the purpose of this passage is to bring not discouragement, but encouragement. Not to make you resent the word of God, but the purpose is to encourage you, to not burden you, to bring you freedom, to bring you out of anxiety to the joy of being you and the peace of being you. And if that's going to be the case, we've got to get a little perspective here on this passage. If you look at this passage, how long did it take her to do this? That's the question that you need to ask. A lot of people look at it and say, this is a daily to-do list. This is what she did every day. Maybe a week on the outside. And if that's true, this woman never stopped. She never slept. If she slept at all, she gets up early, she goes to bed late, she supports her husband in his business and his civic affairs, she cooks, cleans, serves, she spins her own yarn, she sews her own clothes, she has a side business apart from her husband's business, she volunteers, she gives to the needy, she still has time for the kids and energy at night to tuck them in and then spend time with her husband after it's all over. Are you beginning to kind of see how unrealistic it is to try to get all that done in a day? There's not enough hours in the day to do everything that's listed here. It's just, you just can't do it. There's not enough hours. So this is not a to-do list for a day. In fact, it's not a to-do list at all. But if it's not a daily to-do list, then what is it? I believe, like others do, that what we have here is a picture, not a picture of a day in the life of this woman, but a portrait of her entire life. It's not a snapshot of a specific day, but a panoramic view of the life that she lived over years. I want you to look at verse 10. There in verse 10, it says, a wife of noble character who can find. So let me ask you something. How long does it take to develop character? Does it happen in a day? No. Doesn't happen in a week or a month or a year. It happens over a lifetime. So this is something that happened over a lifetime. For it's life itself, it's living life that shapes our character. So character, especially a noble one, does not come about quickly. Therefore, character takes time, a lifetime to develop. So this passage, right at the beginning, speaks about the passage of time. Verse 23, also it says here, her husband is respected at the city gates where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. An elder is just that, an elder. Her husband, when he took a seat at the city gate, was not newly married. He didn't have young kids. He didn't have a growing family. He had already watched his family grow up, seldom get married, probably had grandkids and gray hair. So this verse also speaks of the passage of time. So if you view it in this way, looking at this passage as covering a lifetime as opposed to one day, we gain a very different perspective. There were times when this woman was chasing around little kids, taking care of them, making sure they were fed and bathed and in bed and all the things it takes to manage a household. At other times, she was buying a field. She was growing crops, making clothes, selling clothes. But you know, you can't do all that if you're trying to help your husband start a business. So then, how many of you remember when your kids were teenagers? How many miles did you put on the car chasing them from one activity to another, taking them here, taking them there? Just you were the taxi. You were the Uber, and you didn't even know it. You weren't getting paid for it. But when you're doing that, it's really hard to do some of these other things. So as you look at this, and you can see all of these, this energy that is in here, you can see where it's impossible to do it all at the same time. Life goes on in seasons. There's times when family and home take up most of your time, and you don't have time to pour your efforts into starting a business. So over a lifetime, I suspect all of us have done different things here. You may have planted a vineyard or two throughout your life. You just can't do that when you're potty training a toddler. It just doesn't work. So hopefully, knowing that this took this woman a lifetime to accomplish these things brings you a little bit of encouragement. Cut yourself a little slack. But it's still quite a list. If we look at it, it's still quite a list. It's quite a list even to accomplish over a lifetime. But here's the good news. You don't have to live up to this list. Not every woman has to have each and every one of these qualities. And you don't have to do all that this woman did. No woman is meant to do all of those things. Let's face it. Some of you are good cooks. I've sampled some of your cooking. Some of you are good cooks. And you can tell Alicia is as well, because I ate enough of it. Some of you are good cooks. Some of you can't boil water. We had a friend when her and her husband got married, she told him, I don't use the oven. I don't use the stove. If it can't be done in a microwave, I don't do it. You know? So, but you know, you can do quite a bit of stuff in the microwave, but still, she didn't know how to cook anything. She just couldn't stick in the microwave and push the buttons. That was it. Some of you have a green thumb. You can grow anything. Others of you, if I give you a plant, it's giving the plant a death sentence. You know, you just can't grow anything to save your life. Yet others, you know, are good in business. Some are not. Others can sew. The rest of us are thankful for Kohl's, JCPenney, and Amazon. You know, we can order what we need. How many of you have a distaff in your house? You even know what that is? That's what I thought. That's what mine says. It's a spinning wheel. Do you make your own yarn? Oh, you don't have to make your own. Well, then you're not the Proverbs 31 woman, and you're falling down on your job. So I think you get the point that I'm making. You may be excellent at managing your household and supporting your husband, but you don't know beans about business or about sewing or crafts or anything else. And that's okay. This is a description of one woman. But this is not meant to be a description of every woman. And it's not meant to be a description of you. Mezzo-soprano Susan Graham was an up-and-coming opera star back in 1996. And a writer from Texas Monthly compared her to one of opera's legendary mezzo-sopranos and asked her if she thought she'd become the next Cecilia Bartoli. And Susan replied, well, I'm not sure I want to be the next anyone. I'd rather be the first Susan Graham. Well, what was she saying? I don't want to be anybody but me. And that's the desire of our hearts. We don't want to be anybody but us. You want to be you. And guess what? That's what God wants as well. He wants you to be you, no one else. But how do you be you? That's the question. How do you become the you you were meant to be? How do you become the you that you are? Well, in order to answer that, let's look at verse 30. Verse 30, I'm going to read the whole thing. We're really going to focus in on the last half of it. It says, charm is deceitful, but beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So what led this woman to become who she was? What caused her to do the things she did? What caused her to be this woman of noble character that was praised by her husband and her children? It is the fear of the Lord. She knew the Lord. When the author penned these words, a woman who fears the Lord will be praised, he's telling us, he's telling you how to be you. He's letting you know that because this woman knew and followed the Lord, because that she was the woman she was, because she allowed the love of God to fill her and flow through her, she was the woman she was meant to be. How to be you is not about being like anybody else. It's not about doing all the right things or living up to an arbitrary standard. It's not even doing what this lady did or being who she was. See, how to be you. How to be the person that you want to be, the person that God wants you to be. How to be you is about knowing. It's not about doing. And we're a nation of doers, right? If I'm going to be like that, I'm going to act like that. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. And we try to do it on our own. But how to be you is not about doing. It's about knowing. It's about knowing the Lord, walking with Him. That's how you be you. God made each of you unique. There's no two women that are alike. Period. There's no two men that are alike. Now, this part may shock you. There's not a man and a woman who are alike. I know that last part's shocking, I know. But we're all unique. We all have different likes. We all have different talents, different personalities, different experiences. I wasn't made to be like you, and you were not made to be like me. You were not made to be like anyone else. So you know what that means? If you're not made to be like me and I'm not made to be like you, that means you don't have to be like anyone else. You just have to be you. Did you know it's enough to be you? It's enough. You don't have to be like anyone else. But we can only be us if you live life in the Lord, allowing Him and His Spirit to mold you and to lead you down that road and create you and be you. Psalms 139, 13 and 14 says this: You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So what does this say His works are? They're wonderful. Now, how did you come to be? God knitted you together. He created you. So if He created you, that makes you what? One of His works. And if you are one of His works, what are you? You're wonderful. You're wonderful in God's sight. You're wonderful just as you are. God created you to say, that's Raydeen. She's enough. That's Kathy. She's enough. That's Suzette. She's enough. Harlan, he's enough. You're wonderful. You don't have to be like anyone else to be pleasing to the Lord. So let me ask you this. Why would you want to be anything less than you? Why would you want to be anything less than you? As I said before, being you is not about doing. It's about knowing. You don't have to know how to be you. How many of you still trying to figure out, how can I be who I am? You know? Particularly when you're a teenager, you go, I'm going to be somebody, but who am I? And how am I going to get there? You know, we all ask that question. And many of us still asking that question. We don't have to know how to get there. We don't have to know all the right things to do. All we have to know is who will get us there. And Jesus is the who. All you've got to do to be you is to know the Lord and follow Him. To follow Him and allow His love to fill you. Allow Him to guide you day by day. See, the Scripture says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. He also says, I'm the way. I know some of you have gone through experiencing God. Many of you had taught experiencing God. You know, in there, just went blank on his name, Henry Blackaby. Wow. He states that Jesus, he talks about Jesus being the map because he's the way. You don't have to have the map as long as you have Jesus because he knows the way. And that's the case in this. To be you, you don't have to have a map. You just have to know Jesus and allow him to lead you. And he will, if you listen and follow, he will allow you to be you. The best version of you, the you you were created to be. A person of noble character, a person with a heart filled with compassion and love for God, and a person who will share that love and compassion with those around you. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." To be still is not just to sit still and be quiet. It's to mean stop striving. And to apply that to what we were talking about today means to stop trying to be everybody else. Stop trying to be anyone else. Stop trying to measure up to everybody else and all the standards the world's put out there. Stop trying to become you through your own self-will and your own struggles. Instead, relax. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Okay? Spur of the moment, but this is what we're going to do. I want everybody to take a deep breath. Okay, let it out. And just relax. Let's do that again. Ready? Big deep breath. Okay, let it out. And just relax. Let all that stress go. You don't have to figure it out. Just follow the Lord. He'll get you where you want to go. He'll get you where you need to be. He will allow you to become the unique self that you are, the wonderful you that God created you to be. So today, be encouraged. Be encouraged. You don't have to worry about being who the world says you should be. You don't have to worry about how to become who God created you to be. You don't have to worry at all. Because you don't have to figure it out. Because God's already got it figured out. All you have to do is follow him. He knows the path. All you got to do is follow him. How many of you played the follow the leader when you were kids? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Just follow the leader. Did you ever get tired of following that leader? Yeah, who wanted to be the leader? We all did, right? We have to be the follower in this. We just have to follow the leader, and he'll get us there. All you have to do is trust him, let him lead, and guess what? The Spirit at work in you will do the rest. So all we have to do is trust and follow, and you will be who you're meant to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you really do take all the pressure off of us. You really do. We were the ones that put the pressure on ourselves so often. But I thank you that you're at work in us. And we don't have to be like anybody else. It's too much work. There's too much stress. There's too much anxiety in that. We just need to be who we are. Not that we can just, you don't want us just to be obnoxious. You don't want us to be people that hurt others. You want us to be the best version of ourselves. And we will become that in you, but only in you. So, Father, help us to follow and help us to cut ourselves some slack. Help us to stop comparing ourselves with everybody around us and just look to you and say, God, am I walking with you? And if we're walking with you, we're right where we're supposed to be. We're doing right what we're supposed to be doing. And we just need to follow step by step, whatever that means, wherever that leads, because you have what is best in mind for us. So if we follow you, we'll follow you right into the best. So Father, I pray that each person here will be encouraged. Father, that they don't have to be like anybody else. They can be who they are in you and celebrate that as they celebrate you. We pray this in Jesus' name.